So excited to be doing this interview today. We are going to be learning about personal branding. And we're not going to be learning about personal branding in kind of the old sense where you put just like a fancy picture up on the on a website. We're going to be learning about digital, professional, sophisticated personal branding. My guest today is Mark Lack. And I met Mark about 5 years ago, and he was 24 years old when I met him. And so I've gotten to watch him as he's gone from starting his own personal brand and speaking on stages and interviewing folks to now having a multi-million dollar business, starting a internet TV show. He's now interviewed over 1,000 successful entrepreneurs, millionaires, billionaires, and he's really become a genius at and an icon of teaching entrepreneurs how to build their own brands online. And so today, I'm really looking forward again to doing this because we're going to learn about what you need to know today to launch and build your personal brand and use that to support the growth of your business. Mark, hey man.
Thanks for having me on. Epic introduction. Appreciate you and so grateful to be able to, you know, share some of my experience in the online world with your community and your audience.
Yeah, great. So everyone, make sure and stay on all the way through this interview. A couple of reasons. Number one, you're going to learn a ton. And number two, at the end, I've got a great bonus package for you. And Mark has an awesome course on personal branding that I'm going to ask him to tell you about. But I've got a special bonus package. And I've got a new live course that I'm also doing in just a few weeks here on personal branding. And you're going to want to get access to that. The only way to get access is to make sure and stay all the way to the end. All right, so Mark, let's dive in. Could you just give us a couple of minutes? I mean, I introduced you. You know, obviously, I've known you for a while here.
Yeah.
You know, how did you get interested in personal branding? Who are you? What are you up to? Just give us a little framework here.
Yeah, I'll give you the quick synopsis for anyone who maybe didn't already hear my story on the masterclass training that we did. But you know, I grew up in a small town. My family comes from very humble beginnings, which I'm very grateful for because it taught me a lot. And I like to start my story and my journey off around 14 because it was a very interesting time in my life. I got into paintball, for anybody who knows, where you run around and basically just a fun hobby. And the weird thing about that, though, is I took it to the absolute top, the pinnacle of what is possible. I became a professional paintball player. Most people don't even know that that's even a thing. I still joke and call it, it was a pro-level hobby. But I was able to travel with my professional hobby 250,000 miles around the world to experience different cultures and parts of the globe. That was amazing. And it was a blessing to learn that at a young age. And then on the financial side, crazy enough, this hobby allowed me to make over $300,000 in cash prizes over the course of my high school career, which was amazing as well to have some cool income. And then I got to this time in my life where on the weekend, I felt like a rock star. I was the top guy, top 10 in the whole world at professional paintball. And it was so cool to feel that way, to be a winner in this one area of my life, especially since I was failing in school. I had terrible grades. I was labeled a failure. I was the weird kid who was always gone and traveling, playing paintball of all things. And my self-confidence was super low. So it was this weird paradox where Monday through Friday, I felt unworthy and insignificant and it was just a weird dynamic. On the weekend in paintball, I'm a rock star. I go back into reality and I'm a failure. And it was just like this weird world inside of me, two different worlds. And I was like, I want to be the rock star all the time. And so I go on the internet. Luckily, I grew up with the internet and was searching like, how do I become more confident? How do I live life on my terms? How do I really like take control of the future I want to have? And I came across a lot of amazing educational videos and mentors from the classics to new people, Think and Grow Rich, all the way up to modern day thought leaders. And it just brought a new paradigm shift to my reality. I got into a time in my life where, you know, I wanted to make money and I got used to making money playing paintball. And so I was like, how do you make a lot of money in the world? And, you know, what I found was sales and marketing. All businesses and transactions happen through sales and marketing. And so for me, you know, for those of you who are watching this, you could probably see I'm in my home office here and I've got about 1,000 books behind me on one of my bookshelves here. And most of them are on sales and marketing and human psychology and influence and persuasion. And so as I was studying all of those things to be able to learn how to make more money, I started to learn about online marketing and how transactions happen and how you can influence and persuade people to, you know, buy products and services that are good for them and that can make a difference in their life. And on that journey, I had this crazy paradigm shift that happened where I started to learn from a lot of these experts, thought leaders, and celebrities in the industry. And what I found was that no matter how good you got at sales and marketing, if you were the most known person, the most ethical person, the person who had the best brand, the most celebrity status, everyone looked to you as the go-to person. You might not be the best salesperson. You might not be the best marketer. You're not using any fancy tactics or strategies and all the things you learn about when you get into marketing to persuade people to buy. You just are a good person and lots of people know you, like you, and trust you. You don't have to do the fancy stuff. You don't even have to be the best communicator. You can just be you and you can authentically share your message and your story and your offers with the world, and way more people will buy from you than if you did the fancy sales and marketing. So here I am scratching my head being like, hold on, after 500 marketing books and sales books, I'm finding out that it's easier to just get people to know me, like me, and trust me as a human being with my personal brand than it is to try to do fancy sales and marketing with my products and my services. Now, if you can do the two combined in a way that feels really good for you, then you're invincible, as I call it. Meaning you're going to impact a lot of people, you're going to be influential, and you're going to make a lot of money through the impact that you have. And so for me, it was this paradigm shift of, wow, if you build a personal brand, and we can talk more about what that means and how we all have them. Are you watching right now, even though you might not think it, you have a personal brand. And when I found that if you can take your personal brand and the internet, and you can take direct response marketing campaigns and put the two together, you can really achieve a lot of impact and good in the world, and you can be financially compensated for that. And it's something that I've become obsessed with over the last 10 years, and it's totally transformed my life and the life of our students, my family, my friends, my employees, and everybody else.
Yeah, so we've seen this rise of the personal brand, you know, or almost like personal celebrity or something.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people look at this and they think to themselves, well, that's not me. I'm not going to be, you know, famous someday. You know, I don't want to be Oprah or whatever, but the internet's changed everything, right? The internet, things are different now. Does everybody have to think about personal branding in your opinion? Is this something that every entrepreneur, every business person, every coach, every teacher, thinker, does everybody have to think about this?
Yes. I think there's a lot of ways to think about personal branding. And it's almost kind of like if we were talking about like food and diet. Does everyone need to think about food and diet? Well, everyone eats and has a body, and what you eat controls how you feel. So yes, everybody should be aware of their personal brand because we all have a personal brand. And whether you're aware of it, hopefully this is bringing a new level of awareness to you. We all have a personal brand. And so we can choose to not be aware of it. And therefore, it could end up potentially, without us even knowing, it could be limiting our success. It could be limiting our personal growth. It could be limiting the impact we have, and the money we have, and the influence we have within our community, within our, you know, industry and niche that we're in to serve people. So yes, I think we definitely all need to be aware of it. And then with that awareness, we can decide what we want to do. And I have luckily been able to show people, once they're aware of their personal brand that they already have, how can you start to develop it, launch it, monetize it, scale it, and really use it for what it's capable of. I think my kind of mantra is that your personal brand is your biggest competitive advantage if leveraged properly. And that's the big key part, if leveraged properly. And I think most people, they're focused on selling the features and the benefits of their product and their service, and they get caught up on that rather than the easier route, which is leveraging your personal brand and the connection you can have with the person. So we'll get into some of this stuff as we dive more in.
Okay. So will you define personal brand for us? What does it mean? And maybe even give us a little history. Like what did it used to mean? What does it mean now? You know, and how do we develop this?
So companies have been using celebrity brands for a very long time. You can probably remember Gatorade sponsoring Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, and so on and so forth. There's an infinite amount of examples I could give where business brands and product brands align themselves with personal brands. And I have this really cool graphic. Again, if you watch the masterclass, you saw it. It's a triangle, and you have a product brand, a business brand, and a personal brand. And so a really good example that all of us can probably relate to, just to recap your and refresh your memory from the masterclass, is you've got the business brand of Apple. You've got the product brands being iTunes, the iPhone, the MacBook Pro, Apple TV, and then the personal brand was Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs really helped drive the product and drive the business. And then nowadays, because Steve has passed, you've got somebody like Elon Musk with Tesla and their cars and any other products that they're developing. And so even billionaires and the most profitable companies on the planet are leveraging their personal brand. Now, it only makes sense that the founder of the company should be the personal brand, like Bill Gates with Microsoft and Warren Buffett with his companies. And so billionaires and the most profitable companies on the planet are leveraging their personal brand for their companies and for their products and for instilling confidence amongst their shareholders and their investors and the consumers. And so it's being utilized at the highest level of companies and billionaires and people in the world. And then some other companies who have CEOs who say, and founders who go, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to get on camera like that. I don't want to be speaking and building my personal brand. They hire celebrities. You don't see Tesla paying celebrities. You don't see Apple paying celebrities. The founders became the celebrity with their personal brand. Other companies choose to not do that. So they have to pay millions of dollars for personal brand celebrities to endorse their product. So there's a lot, and you can do both, one, the other. You don't have to do it. Like we said, be aware of it and then choose what you want to do with it. So I think it's been happening for a very long time. And the reason why is because research shows that people trust people more than trusting a product or a service. And if you think that you trust a product or a service, it just really means that you have faith that the people behind the product and the service are good people and built something good. And so at the end of the day, if you want to get instant credibility, you could pay a celebrity to endorse your product because millions of people trust that celebrity. And so if they endorse your product, the research has proven consumers are way more likely to buy a product if someone they know, like, and trust endorses it. And so in today's world, I believe that personal branding in its basic nature is understanding that people are judging you and perceiving you in some type of way, no matter what. You go to a networking event and I don't know you. I definitely don't like you or trust you. If I don't know you, I can't possibly trust you. And when I trust you, that's when the money exchange happens. So you first get people to know you, then you get people to like you, and then you get people to trust you. And when people trust you, that's when you have influence. You can influence people to buy someone else's product. You can influence people to buy your product. You can influence people to take action, get in better shape, set New Year's resolutions, contribute and raise money. You know, when terrible things around the world happen, celebrities step up and they tell their following to raise money for a good cause, and they raise millions of dollars. So once you have a personal brand, you can choose to use it in so many different ways because you have trust and therefore you have influence. And so really, you already have a personal brand. It's just you understanding that your personal brand, unless you've been consciously leveraging it to get lots of people to know you, like you, and trust you, your personal brand's leverage has been small. And the realization is, when I have a personal brand, I need to become more aware of how people have been perceiving me, more aware of how people could judge me. And then how could I scale rapport? How could I scale connection and trust? Because when you meet people, when you talk to people, when you have lunch with people, when you have dinner with people, when you build a relationship with people, you build rapport, connection, and trust. So how could you do that at scale on the internet? And that's really what personal branding to me is you can scale connection, you can scale trust, you can scale rapport to hundreds of thousands and even millions of people around the internet by producing really good content in its basic nature. Who you are as a person, your values, your product, your service, experiencing it in a risk-free test drive way where they can experience your coaching, experience your consulting, experience your product or service without having to buy it. They can experience you as a person, as if they sat down and had lunch with you or dinner with you. They could experience who you are in your core. And you can scale that on the internet, and you can break that up into a journey, into a sequence, and a series of your life. It's very easy. If you follow a recipe and a formula, and it's something that we've mastered, we give our advice and formula to celebrities. But yes, personal branding is something we all have, and it's what you've already been doing: meeting people and building a relationship with people. That's personal branding.
So you're talking about this, you're saying we all already have a personal brand. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I don't think most people think this way. I don't think most people are thinking about themselves as a personal brand.
And I didn't either.
Yeah, right. So let's just dig a little deeper into that. What do you mean by we all have a personal brand? Are you trying to say basically that we already have a group of people in our life who think of us in a particular way, and that's what our personal brand is? Or is it that our customers? Yeah, go ahead.
So you know when a business builds their business brand, they do the logo, they do the font, they do the color scheme, they do the website, the packaging, so that it is going to be judged a certain way. If you get an Apple product, it comes in like a $50 cardboard box because they want you to feel like the exactly. brand is so good. Look at the people talk about the packaging. Like I bought my wife a new MacBook, and when she got it, she's like, look at the box. And I was like, how good is their brand? How good is the brand that the box is impressive? Yeah, and so you just look at your personal brand that way. You judge. Imagine if I bought this expensive new laptop and it came in a grocery bag. I'd be like, something's incongruent about the brand. And so if you said you're the number one financial advisor, but I met you with a tank top, board shorts, sandals, and a backwards hat, that might be you on the weekend, but that might not be the best first judgment, perception, impression that I could have if you told me you're going to be my financial advisor. Now, if I got to know you, then it's okay because your friends and family wouldn't judge you if you were that way because they know, like, and trust you already. So you could do that, but you shouldn't start with that. Your profile photo should be you in like a suit, most likely, unless you're already a celebrity and everybody already knows you. So understanding that a business spends all this time and energy and money to have us perceive their logo, their brand, their packaging, their product, their experience, their customer service, their stores in a certain way. Well, you have a personal brand. The way that you look, talk, the way that people judge you, experience you, the values you have, the words you use, everything about you, just like everything about getting a product, a service, going to a restaurant, just like you're judging subconsciously, our brand is judging everything to know, is this good for me? Is this bad for me? Is it going to hurt me? Do I like this? Do I not? And our brain is judging business brands all the time, products and services all the time. And then you choose to tell your friends and family about how good that experience with that business brand or product brand was. It's no different with a personal brand. People are experiencing you, synthesizing and metabolizing everything about you to know, is this someone I can trust? Is this someone I should build a relationship with? Is this someone I should buy from? Is this a trustworthy individual? All of it is just happening subconsciously, and some of it's conscious. So you just have to think, like, is how I'm showing up consistently giving people the impression that I want? And am I doing it in a way where if everybody watching this sent me your name and I Googled you on the internet, if what I see on your social media, if what I see comes up on Google or doesn't, think about that. If what doesn't come up should come up, then you're already missing out. If there's all these amazing things about you, but they're not on social media, there's no website, you don't even come up when I search you, there's no YouTube channel, there's no Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, there's nothing about you on the internet except for only in the rare instance when you market your product or service to me. But what happens when you market your product and service to me and then I go, well, let me go see who this person really is before I buy, and then they go and look you up and there's nothing there. Anybody watching this could go look me up and they will find 5,000 hours of Mark Lack all over the internet. And if you study long enough, you'll feel like you already know me. You'll feel like you already know my wife. If you were watching the beginning of this, my cute little dog Biscuit who barked, you'll see him and you'll get to know Biscuit. You'll get to know me. You'll get to know my family. You'll get to know what I'm going through, what I'm investing in, the books that I'm reading. You'll know me. And what will happen is you'll start to feel like we already have a relationship, even though we've never met. And so personal branding is giving you the experience of who I am as a person, no brand, so that when you choose to buy my product brand or business brand, you're judging it based off of me because I am an extension of my product and my business.
Yeah, you know, you're reminding me when in a past life, I was a dating guru and I used to teach a lot of men about how to get their social skills together. And I would have a lot of guys that would come to me and they would say, you know, I don't want to use any of these techniques, or I don't want to like learn how to flirt because that would feel inauthentic. You know, I just want a woman to like me for who I am. And I would say, well, that's really, you know, that's wonderful that you want to be authentic and you want someone to like you for who you are. But if she never gets a chance to meet who you really are, she's never going to get a chance to know who you really are. So here, try this, make a joke, you know, flirt a little bit, dress up, put on a little nicer shirt, because that gives her the opportunity to then go, oh, you know, maybe there's something here. And I think that a lot of people, they don't want to be inauthentic. You know, they don't want to come across as, you know, I dressed up for my glamour shot and I'm trying to look good, but that's not really who I am. And I think that through this, what you're saying here is that there's a way to present yourself that's not only professional, but that's also who you really are.
Yeah.
And
like you would go to a funeral, hopefully, respectively, the way that you should be dressed. You would go to a wedding, hopefully, respectively, the way that the wedding attire has told you this is the environment of how we're all dressing at this wedding. And just as any scenario I could continue to name, you would hopefully dress according to the environment because of the status quo, the respect, the judgment, whatever. And so it's just the same thing. It's just you have to understand how you should be in a certain way. And so riddled on your social media feed, sprinkled throughout, could be you in all different types, but your profile photo should probably elicit the first judgment that I'm going to have. Back to my point. If I never knew you, liked you, or trust you, but someone said, this is the best financial advisor or CPA, he's going to help you with all your money problems. And then I met him and he was in a tank top and a backwards hat, board shorts and flip-flops. I might just say that wasn't the first best impression. Now later, as we built a relationship, he could do that all he wants. But it's just understanding that you have these different contexts of when it's the right time to look, talk, and be a certain way. And if I follow you, like some people, if you look me up, you'll see me in a full suit, and then you'll also see me just being me. So there's all of it within there because it's about the context. And being your authentic self without going down that rabbit hole of a conversation is a story that you tell yourself about who you think you are. And who you think you are and the story that you're currently telling yourself is going to probably determine A, why you already have the results in life you have, and the story that you could tell yourself about who you need to become could determine where you end up in the next couple years and the income you have and whether or not you're able to retire in the next couple years or when you choose, whether you impacted enough people. Look, the story I told myself about who I was is the reason why I had the results that I did. And so I started to tell myself a story about who Mark Lack needed to become in order to impact the people I say I want, in order to have the body and the relationships and the health and the mindset and the consistent emotional state that I wanted to experience, the lives that I want to change, the schools that I want to build in underprivileged areas around the world, all of the things that I want to do in my life that are big goals. All of that is who Mark Lack needs to become, not who Mark Lack is and feels comfortable with. I wish I could eat ice cream and donuts every day and get shredded, but it's just not the reality. And some people wish that they could just stay their authentic self and change the world. And that might be the case, but it might not be. And so oftentimes I find that the results we want is all going to happen automatically when we become the person who naturally achieves those things.
You know, this is a really great point, and I'm glad we went here. This is probably the most important thing that we're talking about here, which is as we move more into the future here, we have the opportunity to self-actualize, to become who we want to become, but to self-design, like to redesign ourselves to become our higher potential. And if you start thinking about your personal brand as the you that you want to become, and that presenting yourself more and showing how you're living your life and saying, you know, hey, here's what I'm doing to make myself, like you said, you know, eat healthier, or here's what I'm doing to, you know, with my family, and that's all a piece of it. You can actually do this in a way that's not inauthentic or fake or manipulative, but something that actually challenges you to become a better version of yourself, which is what I'm seeing with a lot of folks that I'm teaching this kind of stuff to, is they're seeing another side of their own potential come out, because as soon as you flip on the camera, even if you're just recording, you know, with for yourself, somehow, you know, it's like it activates something where you're like, oh, I have to pay attention here. I have to become a better version of myself.
Yeah, exactly. And I find that the more and more that I am putting myself in the spotlight, not as an expert, not as a guru, not as any of that. The world doesn't need more of that. There's enough self-proclaimed people out there doing that. The world just needs you to be your authentic self, but to be your authentic self on the journey of constant growth. And so sharing that journey of growth, and I see so many people, it's so unfortunate that they think, because they told themselves this story, that I have to wait until I've achieved this level of success before I can start to share my story or my advice or documenting what I'm doing. But the sad part is, people don't relate to that success as much as they relate to the journey. And so what I try to tell people is, don't wait and think that for some weird reason that personal branding is you sharing all the flash and the achievements. It's not. People don't relate to that. That's some weird, some thing that has happened on social media, but that's not what people actually want. What we're seeing is the most impactful, the most deep, connective personal brands with their audience, true relationships, are the ones who share the journey. They share what's going on, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad. They share it all, just as you would with your friends or your family or your team, the people you have the most trust and relationship and deep connection and meaningful relationships with, are the ones you share it all with. And I think obviously there's a fine line of sharing it all, but you get my point. You do that with your own discernment and your own judgment, and slowly share and see what the feedback is from people. But I find that if you share the journey right now, where you are today, that's enough. And you'll start to see how your audience is instantly receptive. I know myself, as I've shared with you many times, when I share my best advice on social media, it's the least received and the least engagement. But when I share my wife and I on vacation, or when I share something terrible, like when I almost died from sepsis and was in the hospital for like 2 months and it was just terrible, I get the most engagement on the things more people can relate to, AKA my personal brand versus my potential product and service brand. And so it's just amazing how as soon as you share who you are and things that are personal going on in your life, like the other day I just uploaded, because certain social media platforms have like stories and you can share a 10-second video, and that's normal to do a little 10-second video. Like I could do like, hey, I'm here on an interview with Eben, and I could quickly share that just for 5 seconds, and people would really enjoy that because they're seeing a piece of my life today. And I shared like that I like to have candles lit while I'm working. And I just shared that. And I got all these people messaging me that were like, I love working with candles. And it's just a weird example, but it's to prove the point that like sharing some little thing about my personal life is what gets the instant connection. And I invite you guys to start doing the same thing.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit, action, you know, action steps. Let's say that someone is saying, okay, guys, you got me. You know, you finally talked me into this. I've been resistant to personal branding or like kind of designing myself. What should I do first?
So the first thing is to understand the perception that you want to have in the world. There's a dog outside barking. So now my dog's instantly triggered. So the first thing that you want to do is come up with the perception you want to have. If you're that coach who's more into spirituality, if you're the coach who's more into, you know, Zen and nature and being barefoot, okay, then that's stuff that you should start sharing about how you want to be perceived. Now, if you're more suit and tie coach and business person, then that's how you want to be perceived. Okay, the first step in personal branding is figuring out the perception that you want to have. The next step from there is figuring out what is enough broad content in your life that you can start sharing right now. So you write down three things that consistently happen in your life on a daily, weekly basis. Maybe it's going to the gym. Maybe it's that you make this really healthy smoothie in the morning. Maybe it's that you're always reading books. Those could be three things that are happening in your life all the time that other people don't know about because you don't share it. I would say, okay, I know how I want to be perceived. And now I know the three things that I want to share with my audience. And I would then immediately film a quick little 60-second video. Now, the reason why 60 seconds is critical is because social media, on average, Facebook, Instagram, two of the biggest platforms, LinkedIn is very similar. YouTube is more of a long-form context platform, so YouTube's different. But specifically Facebook, which many of you might hopefully be on, LinkedIn, same thing. The average watch time is only 6 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So to upload a 5-minute video when you're starting your personal brand is so audacious and silly because most people are going to watch it for 6 seconds. So the reason why 60 seconds is critical is because even if somebody watches it for 6 seconds, it's 10% of 60 seconds. But 6 seconds on a 5-minute video, the algorithm is saying, well, it's the same 6 seconds, but it's divided by the total average watch time of the length of the video duration. So the same 6 seconds is not created equal. If you uploaded a 6-second video, the average watch time would probably be 100%. People would watch on average the whole video because it's 6 seconds and you only uploaded a 6-second video. So the algorithm, which is smart but stupid, can easily be manipulated in your favor. The algorithm is now going to say, wow, people must love this video. Everybody's watching the whole thing. So the same 6 seconds is not created equal. So when you share those three things about your personal life that you consistently do on a daily, weekly basis, but most people don't know about it because it's maybe not business professional or it's not about, like, I share the books that I'm reading. So people love it. They love what books I'm reading. Has nothing to do with my business. Has everything to do with me as a person. I'm always reading. So I always share the book that I'm reading and people love it. That would be a thing for you, right? What's the thing that you do all the time? For me, I also always make a healthy smoothie with all these ingredients. So sometimes I randomly film the video and I say, y'all want to know what I'm always drinking to feel my best, put me in a great energetic state, start my day off strong and get my energy good. Here's what I do. I put all these ingredients in here. Done. That's it. And people love that because they're seeing a personal part of my life that happens consistently. They're learning about my daily habits, my daily routines. When I go to the gym, I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh my God, today I do not want to go to the gym at all. But you know what? My brain told me, I'm not going to go to the gym because of all these reasons. And here's the mantra I use to get myself back in the gym. The habit is more important than the effort. And right now I don't want to go to the gym, but when I go to the gym and I start moving my body, then I'm happy I'm at the gym and then I get a good workout in. And so the habit is more important than the effort is what I tell myself to get my butt there and just do the habit. If I just show up every day, I'll get in better shape. And regardless of, oh, I'm not going to put that good of a workout in, instead of talking myself out of it, I repeat this mantra, and guess what, guys? I'm filming this video at the gym right now. And so I'm inspiring my audience. It has nothing to do with my business, product, service. It has everything to do with me as a person. And so share those little things with your audience. That would be step two. And that's a great way to build momentum. There's obviously 100 steps in this equation, but the most important thing is you get momentum and you understand how you want to be perceived. And the next step is coming up with what are three things going on in your personal life consistently that you could just share those first, and that will make you feel comfortable. And you'll start to see the reception and the feedback from your audience being like, oh my gosh, Eben, that's amazing. I love that you shared this. I didn't know that about you. That's so cool. And then you'll instantly be like, what else can I share in my life that's awesome? Because you'll see your audience gives you more feedback from those three things probably than anything you've ever posted. And that will inspire you to take action and find more and more ways to get creative and playful and fun with different parts of your personal life that you want to share. Now, personal, it also goes into your business, your product, your service. It's sharing the essence of who you are and what you stand for. If you love cars, share that you're on the weekend, you're at the car show, or that you're in your garage looking at your engine, tweaking stuff. If you love hanging out with your children and figuring out what kind of food formula to give them or whatever, share that and you'll be astonished at the feedback that you get.
Yeah. And so now let's talk a little bit, if you would, about how does this turn into business?
Love it.
How does this then, right? So I've got a great personal brand. I've been sharing some stuff. I'm learning how the algorithm works. Now, how do I link that over to getting someone to call me and say, I want to buy your coaching. I want to buy your digital products. I want to buy your programs.
Perfect. So what is the first thing they teach you in sales when you're talking to somebody? And I'll help you guys out here. Build rapport. So what's the first thing they tell you to sell someone in person or over the phone or in an audience? What's the first thing that you should do to sell them?
Build rapport.
Build rapport. Yeah. So what you're doing is building rapport with your audience before the sale. So when the sale is going to happen, there's so much rapport built over the months and the years that you've been building your personal brand relationship with your community, with your tribe, with your following. You've been building rapport and scaling it over years with hundreds of thousands of people. So to answer your question, how does all of this silly basic stuff tie into sales? What is the first thing they teach you in sales? Rapport. And so what you're doing is you're scaling rapport and you're breaking it up over a long period of time, because one thing that I've learned about trust is trust rarely happens instantly. Trust happens over a long period of time. So over the phone in sales, you could have the best conversation, build the best rapport. But then I say it's $25,000 and they go, wait a minute. We were having fun there, but 25 grand, look, I don't know you. We just started talking. But if that rapport happened over 2 years, there's so much more trust that's been built up. So I'm not saying to just do this for a week and see what happens. That's like saying build a relationship with somebody for a week and see what happens. I'm saying you do this for the long haul. You bootstrap in and you say, I'm committed to building rapport with my audience at scale. I'm committed to establishing trust that no one else could with my audience because they're not me. Than anyone else could ever. They might have a better product or a better service or better marketing. It doesn't matter. They're not you. You have the biggest competitive advantage for your audience. Someone could be a better marketer, a better product. It's not going to matter. Just like the people that love you, they'll support you. They'll wear your jersey. They'll rep your brand. They'll back you in your startup campaign or whatever you got going on because it's you. And so how this ties into sales, and there's way more to it. I'm just giving you guys like a little taste to be like, oh, well, that's an interesting way to look at it. The number one thing that says, I've read all the books. What's the first thing you do in sales? Build rapport, build connection. What's the first thing you should do on stage? Build rapport, build connection. What's the first thing you should do in your marketing? Get them to feel understood before you try to get them to understand how your product and service can help them. It's marketing and sales. The first thing they say to do is to build rapport, build a connection, make them say, this is for me because they make me feel understood. And that is what your personal brand does. And that's how it, one of the long list of things of how this ties into helping you make more money. And again, we can keep going because you know me, I've got the whole formula.
No, I do. No, that was excellent. That was great. And I think that really lands the plane and it kind of brings the whole thing home to help connect up what we're talking about here, right? It helps this idea of building a personal brand and becoming the best version of you and sharing your life with, oh, then it's natural when you say, would you like to talk about, availing yourself of my products and services? You want to come and solve your problems? Do you want to come and get the result that you want?
You get more inbound requests than you've ever had in your life. More people reach out to you because people love to buy. They typically don't like to be sold. And so you don't have to sell as much. People are reaching out to you more than you've ever had in your career or your business. It's a phenomenal thing. It's like people call attraction marketing. This takes that to a whole nother level. This is like trust and rapport marketing at scale.
Yeah. This is intelligent personal branding.
Yeah,
sophisticated. So maybe you could talk a little bit. You've got a course right now and you're opening up a class of this. And I know a lot of people are thinking about this. A lot of people saw the webinar and so forth. Will you just kind of give us a quick recap of what this is, what someone can learn here and kind of what they get?
So there's obviously going to be way more detailed information broken down for you on